Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad calling for my show, The Good Life. Holy Quran and Sister Claire Muhammad, Education Hour, Alhamdulillah. We say, Udu Billahi Min Shaitan Rajim. We seek refuge with Allah from Satan the rejected. We say, Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka nabudu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladhina an'amta 'alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim wa ad-dallin. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum, dear believers. Again, this is The Good Life. Holy Quran is Sister Claire Muhammad, Education Hour. We spend our first half of the show reading the Holy Quran. Inshallah, what we do, we read 1/30 of the Holy Quran. So, today, we're going to start off with the first juice of the Holy Quran, the first juice. And start off reading, and I'll start it off, and inshallah, hope we'll have others who will come in, call in. Praise be to Allah, who cherishes and sustains the world. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Praise be to Allah, who cherishes and sustains the world. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment, you to be worshipped in thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace. Those portion is not right and go not astray. Alhamdulillah. See what we got here. Okay, because all right, Alhamdulillah. Alif Lam Mim. This is the book, and it is guiding sure without doubt to those who fear Allah, who believe in the unseen, are steadfast in prayer and spin out what we have provided for them, and who believe in the revelation sent to thee and sent before thy time, and in their hearts have the assurance of the hereafter. They are on true guidance from their Lord, and it is these who will prosper. As to those who reject faith, it is the same to them whether thou warn them or do not warn them, they will not believe. Allah has set a seal on their hearts and on their hearing, and on their eyes is a veil. Great is the penalty they incur. I'm at section 2 now. Of the people, there are some who say, we believe in Allah on the last day, but they do not really believe. Fain would they deceive Allah and those who believe, but they only deceive themselves and realize it not. In their hearts is a disease, and Allah has increased their disease. And grievous is the penalty they incur because they are false to themselves. When it is said to them, make not mischief on the earth, they say, why? We only want to make peace. Of a surety, they are the ones who make mischief, and they realize it not. When it is said to them, believe as the others believe, they say, shall we believe as the fools believe? Nay, of a surety, they are the fools, but they do not know. Alhamdulillah, I'm reading out Baqarah. I'm at number 14, ayat 14. When they meet those who believe, they say, we believe. But when they're alone with their evil ones, they say, we are really with you. We were only jesting. Allah will throw back their mockery on them and give them rope in their trespasses, so they wander like blind ones to and fro. These are they who have bartered guidance for error. but their traffic is profitless and they have lost true direction. Their similitude is that of a man who kindled a fire. When it lighted all around him, Allah took away their light and left them in utter darkness. So they could not see. Deaf, dumb, and blind, they will not return to the path. Or another similitude is that of a rain-laden cloud from the sky. In it are zones of darkness and thunder and lightning. They press their fingers in their ears to keep off the stunning thunderclap, the wild bear and terror of death. But Allah is ever around the trajectory of faith. Lightning all but snatches away their sight. As it shines, the light helps them. They walk therein. And when the darkness grows on them, they stand still. And if Allah will, He could take away their faculty of hearing and seeing. For Allah has power over all things. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. I'm at section 3. Let me see if we have other believers who have called in. Alhamdulillah. We're at section 3 now. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. We're at section 3. Okay. Let's see. Praise be to Allah. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. This is the Good Life, Holy Quran, and Sister Claire Muhammad Education Hour. Alhamdulillah. Right now I'm reading. And, O ye people, adore your guardian Lord. I'm at section 3, who created you and those who came before you, that ye may become righteous, who has made the earth your couch and the heavens your canopy, and sent down rain from the heavens and brought forth therewith fruits for your sustenance, and set not up rivals unto Allah when you know the truth. And if you are in doubt as to what we have revealed from time to time to our servants, then produce a surah like thereunto, and call your witnesses or helpers if there are any besides Allah, if your doubts are true. But if you cannot, and of a surety you cannot, then fear the fire whose fuel is men and stones, which is prepared for those who reject faith. But give glad tidings to those who believe and work righteousness, that their portion is guarded beneath its rivers flow. Every time they are fed with fruits therefrom, they say, why, this is what we were fed with before. For they are given things in similitude, and they have therein companions pure and holy, and they abide therein forever. Allah disclaims not to you the similitude of things lowest as well as highest. Those who believe know that it is the truth from their Lord, but those who reject faith say, what means Allah by the similitude? By it he causes many to stray, and many he leads into the right path. And he causes not to stray except those who forsake the path. Those who break Allah's covenant after it is ratified, who sunder what Allah has ordered to be joined, and do mischief on earth, these cause loss only to themselves. Can you reject the faith in Allah, seeing that you were without life and He gave you life? Then He will cause you to die and will again bring you to life. Alhamdulillah. How can you reject the faith in Allah, seeing that ye were without life and He gave you life? Then He will cause you to die and will again bring you to life, and again to Him will you return. It is He who has created for you all things that are on earth. Then He turned to the heavens and made them as the seventh firmament, and of all things He has perfect knowledge. Behold, thy Lord said to the angels, I will create a vicegerent on earth. Alhamdulillah. They said, without place therein, one will make mischief therein and shed blood. Whilst we do celebrate thy praise and glorify thy holy name, he said, I know what ye know not. And he taught Adam the names of all things. Then he placed them before the angels and said, tell me the names of these if you are right. They said, glory to thee of knowledge. We have none save what thou hast taught us. In truth, it is thou who art perfect in knowledge and wisdom. He said, O Adam, tell them their names. When he had told them, Allah said, did I not tell you that I know the secrets of the heavens and the earth? I know what ye reveal and what ye conceal. And behold, we said to the angel, bow down to Adam, and they bowed down. Not so Iblis refused and was haughty, and he was of those who reject faith. He said, O Adam, dwell thou and thy wife in the garden, eat of the bountiful things therein, as where and when you will, but approach not this tree, for you run into harm and transgression. Then did Satan make them slip from the garden and get them out of the state of felicity in which they had been. He said, get you down, all you people, with envy between yourselves on earth, and earth will be your dwelling place and your means of livelihood for a time. Then learned Adam from his Lord words of inspiration, and his Lord turned towards him, for he is oft returning most merciful. He said, get you down all from here. And if, as it sure that comes to you, guidance from me, whosoever follows my guidance, on them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. But those who reject faith and the last signs, they shall be companions of the fire, they shall abide therein. Let's see, alhamdulillah. I'm at section 5. O children of Israel, call to mind the special favor which I bestowed upon you, and fulfill your covenant with me as I fulfill my covenant with you, and fear none but me, and believe in what I reveal and prepare me the revelation which is with you. Be not the first to reject faith therein, nor sell my signs for a small price, and fear me and me alone. Cover not truth with falsehood, nor conceal the truth when you know what it is, and be steadfast in prayer, and practice regular charity, and bow down your head with those who bow down in worship. You enjoin right conduct on the people and forget to practice it yourself. And yet you study the scripture, do you not understand? You got even a shit ton of them. May seek Allah's help with patient perseverance and prayer. It is indeed hard except to those who bring a lowly spirit, who bear in mind the certain that they are to meet their Lord, and that they are going are to return to him. O children of Israel, call to mind the special favor which I bestowed upon you, and that I prepared you for all others for my message. Then guard yourselves against the day when one soul shall not avail another, nor shall intercession be accepted for her, nor shall compensation be taken from her, nor shall anyone be helped from outside. Remember, we delivered you from the people of Pharaoh. They set you hard tasks and punishments, slaughtered your sons, but let your women folk live. Then was a tremendous trial from your Lord. Remember, we divided the sea for you and saved you and drowned Pharaoh's people within your very sight. And remember, we appointed 40 nights for Moses, and in the absence, he took the calf for worship, and he did grievous wrong. Even then did we forgive you. There was a chance for you to be grateful. Remember, we gave Moses the scripture and the criteria between right and wrong. There was a chance for you to be guided aright. Remember, Moses said to his people, O my people, you have indeed wronged yourselves by your worship of the calf. Return in repentance to your maker and slay yourselves, the wrongdoers. that'll be better for you in the sight of your maker. Then he turned towards you in forgiveness, for he is oft-returning most merciful. Remember, you said, O Moses, we shall never believe in thee until we see Allah manifestly and you were dazed and by thunder and lightning, even as you looked on. And we raise you up after your death. You had the chance to be grateful. We gave you the shade of clouds and sent down to you manna and quail, saying, it is a good thing we have provided for you. But they rebelled. To us they did no harm, but they harmed their own souls. Remember, we said, enter this town and eat of the plenty therein as you wish, but enter the gate with humility and posture and in words, and we shall forgive you your faults and increase the portion of those who do good. But the transgressors changed the word from that which had been given them. So we sent on the transgressors a plague from heaven so that they infringed our command repeatedly. Remember, Moses prayed for water for his people. He said, strike the rock with thy staff, then gush forth therefrom 12 springs. Each group knew its own place for water, so eat and drink of the sustenance provided by Allah, and do no evil nor mischief on the face of the earth. Remember, he says, O Moses, we cannot endure one kind of food always, so we will beseech thy Lord for us to produce for us what the earth groweth, its potters and cucumbers, its garlic, lentils, and onions. He said, will you exchange the better for the worse? Go ye down to any town, and ye shall find what ye want. And they were covered with humiliation and misery. They drew on themselves the wrath of Allah, this because they went on rejecting the signs of Allah, slaying his messenger without just cause. This because they rebelled and went on transgressing. Those who believe in the Quran and those who follow the Jewish scriptures and the Christians and the Sabians, any who believe in Allah on the last day and work righteousness shall have their reward. Shall have a reward with their Lord, and on them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. And remember, we took your covenant. We raised above you the towering height of Mount Sinai, saying, hold firmly to what we have given you. Bring ever to remember what is therein, the chance you may fear Allah. But you turned back thereafter. Had it not been for the grace and mercy of Allah to you, ye had surely been among the lost. And well, you knew those amongst you who transgressed in the matter of the Sabbath. He said to them, be ye apes, despised and rejected. So he made it an example to their own time and to the posterity, to their posterity, and a lesson to those who fear Allah. Remember, Moses said to his people, Allah commands that you sacrifice a heifer. They said, makest thou a laughing stock of us? He said, Allah save me from being an ignorant fool. They said, beseech on our behalf thy Lord to make plain to us what heifer it is. He said, he says the heifer should be neither too old nor too young, but of middling. Now do what ye are commanded. They said, beseech on our behalf thy Lord to make plain to us her color. He says, a fawn-colored heifer, pure and rich in tone, the admiration of beholders. He said, beseech on our behalf, thy Lord, to make plain to us what she is. To us are all heifers alike. We wish indeed for guidance if Allah will. He says, a heifer not trained to till the soil or water the field, sound without blemish. They said, now hast thou brought the truth in the Then they offered her in sacrifice, but not with good will. Right now we are at section 9. Remember, you slew a man and fell in dispute among yourselves as to the crime. But Allah was to bring forth what you did hide. So we said, strike the body with a piece of the heifer Thus Allah bringeth the dead to life, assureth you his signs, perchance you may understand. I did not. Thenceforth were your hearts hardened. They became like a rock, and even worse than hardness. For among rocks there are some from which rivers gush forth. Others there are which, when split asunder, send forth water, and others which sink for fear of Allah, and Allah is not unmindful of what you do. Can ye, O ye men of faith, entertain the hope that they will believe in you, seeing that a party of them heard the word of Allah and perverted it knowingly after they understood it? Behold, when they meet the men of faith, they say, "We believe." But when they meet each other in private, they say, "Shall you tell them what Allah hath revealed to you, that they may engage you in argument about it before your Lord? Do you not understand their aims? Know they not that Allah knoweth what they conceal and what they reveal? And there are among them illiterates who know not the book and see therein their own desires. But they do nothing but conjecture. And woe to those who write the book with their hands and then say, 'This is from Allah.' The traffic was hid for a miserable price. Woe to them for what their hands do write and for the gain they make thereby. They say, 'The fire shall not touch us but for a few number of days.' Say, 'Have you taken a promise from Allah? For he never breaks his promise. Or is it that ye say of Allah what ye do not know? May those who seek gain in evil and are girt around by their sin, their companions of the fire, therein shall they abide forever. But those who have faith and work righteousness, their companions of the garden, therein shall they abide forever. Remember, we took a covenant from the children of Israel to this effect. Remember, we took, I'm at section 10, and remember, we took a covenant from the children of Israel to this effect, worship none but Allah, treat with kindness your parents and kindred and orphans and those in need, and speak fair to the people, be steadfast in prayer and practice regular charity. Then did ye turn back except a few among you, and ye backslide even now." Remember, we took your covenant. Remember, we took your covenant to this effect. Shed no blood amongst you, nor turn out your own people from your homes. And this ye solemnly ratify. And to this ye can bear witness. After this, it is ye, the same people who slay among yourselves and banish a party of you from their home to assist their enemies against them in guilt and transgression. And if they come to you as captives, ye ransom them, though it is not lawful for you to banish them. This is only a part of the book that you believe in. And do you reject the rest? But what is the reward of those among you who behave like this? With disgrace in this life, and on the day of judgment, they shall be consigned to the most grievous penalty. For Allah is not unmindful of what you do. These are the people who buy the life of this world at the price of the hereafter. Their penalty shall not be lightened, nor shall they be helped. She gave Moses the book and followed him up with a succession of messengers. He gave Jesus, the son of Mary, clear sign and strengthened him with the whole Holy Spirit. Is it that whenever there comes to you a messenger with what ye yourselves desire not, ye are puffed up with pride? Some ye call them apostles and some ye slay. They say our hearts are the wrappings which preserve Allah's word. We need no more. May Allah curses on them for their blasphemy. Little is it they believe. And when there comes to them a book from Allah confirming what is with them, although from of old they had prayed for victory against those without faith, when there comes to them that which they should have recognized, they refuse to believe in it, for the curse of Allah is on those without faith. Miserable is the price for which they have sold their souls, in that they deny the revelation which Allah has sent down, and insolent envy that Allah of His grace should send it in His servant He pleases. Thus have they drawn of themselves wrath upon wrath, and humiliating is the punishment of those who reject faith. When it is said to them, believe in what Allah has sent down, they say, we believe in what was sent down to us, yet they reject all besides, even if the truth confirms what is with them faith. Why then have you slain the prophets of Allah in times gone by? If ye did indeed believe, there came to you Moses with clear signs, yet ye worshipped the calf even after that, and we did behave wrongfully. Remember, we took your covenant, we raised above you the towering height of Mount Sinai, saying, hold firmly to what we have given you, and hearken to the law. They said, we hear and we disobey. They had to drink into their hearts of the taint of the calf, because of their faithlessness, saying, vile indeed are the behests of your faith. If you have any faith, say, if your last home was allowed be for you specifically, not for anyone else, then seek ye for death if you are sincere. But they will never seek for death on account of the sins which their hands have sent on before them. And Allah is well acquainted with the wrongdoers. Thou will indeed find them of all people most greedy of life, even more than the idolaters. Each one of them wishes he could be given a life of 1,000 years, but the grant of such life will not save him from due punishment. For Allah sees well all that they do. Say, whoever is an enemy to Gabriel, for he brings down the revelation to thy heart by Allah's will, a confirmation of what went before, and guidance and glad tidings to those who believe. Whoever is an enemy to Allah and his angels and prophets, to Gabriel and Michael, lo, Allah is an enemy to those who reject faith. When we have sent down to thee manifest signs, ayat, and none reject them but those who are perverse. Is it not the case that every time they make a covenant, some party among them throw it aside? Nay, most of them are faithless. And when there came to them a messenger from Allah confirming what was with them, a party of the people of the book threw away the book of Allah behind their backs, as if it had been something they did not know. They followed what the evil ones gave out falsely against the power of Solomon. The blasphemers were not Solomon, but the evil ones teaching men magic, and such things came down at Babylon to the angels Harut and Marut. But neither of those taught anyone such things, without saying, we are only for a trial, so do not blaspheme. They learned from them the means to sow discord between man and wife, but they could not thus harm anyone except by Allah's permission. And they learned what harmed them, not what profited them. And they knew that the buyers of magic would have no share in the happiness of the hereafter. And vile was the place for which they did sell their souls, but knew. If they had kept their faith and guarded themselves from evil, far better had been reward from their Lord if they but knew. O ye of faith, say not, to the prophet, words of the biggest import, but words of respect, and hearken to him. To those without faith is a grievous punishment. It is never the wish of those without faith among the people of the book nor the pagans that any good should come down to you from your Lord. But Allah will choose for his mercy whom he will. For Allah is Lord of grace abounding, none of our revelations do we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, but we substitute something better or similar. Knowest thou not that Allah has power over all things? Knowest thou not that to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? Besides him, ye have neither patron nor helper. If you question your messenger, as Moses questions of old, and whoever changes from faith to unbelief has strayed without doubt from the even way. Quite a number of the people of the book wish they could turn you people back to infidelity after you have believed from selfish envy and truth, after the truth had become manifest unto them. But forgive and overlook. Did Allah accomplish this purpose? For Allah has power over all things. Be steadfast in prayer and regular in charity, and whatever good you send forth for your souls before you, you shall find it with Allah. For Allah sees well all that you do. And they say none shall enter paradise unless he be a Jewish Christian. Those are their vain desires. Say, produce your proof if you are truthful. Nay, whoever submits his whole self to Allah and is a doer of good, he will get his reward with his Lord. And such shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. The Jews say the Christians have not to stand upon. Yet they confess and study the same book, like unto their word. It is what those say who know not. But Allah will judge between them and their poor on the day of judgment. And who is more unjust than he who forbids and in places for the worship of Allah his name should be celebrated, whose zeal is in fact to ruin them? It was not fitting that such should themselves enter them except in fear. And who is more unjust than than he who forbids that in places for the worship of Allah his name should be celebrated, whose zeal is in fact to ruin them? It was not fitting that such should themselves enter them except in fear. For them there is nothing but disgrace in this world and the world to come, an exceeding torment. To Allah belongs to east and the west, whichever you turn, there is Allah's blessing. So Allah belongs to east and the west. Whatsoever you turn, there is Allah's countenance. So Allah is all embracing, all knowing. They say, Allah has forgotten the sun. Glory be to him, nay, to him belongs all that is in the heavens and on earth. Everything brings worship to him. To him is due the primal origin of the heavens and the earth. When he decrees a matter, he says that it be, it is. Why speaketh not Allah unto us? Why cometh not unto us a sign? So said the people before them, words of similar import. Their hearts are alike. We have indeed made clear the signs unto any people who hold firmly to faith in their hearts. Verily, we have sent thee as, in truth as a bearer of bad tidings and a warner. But of thee no question shall be asked, but of the companions of the blazing fire. Never will the Jews or the Christians be satisfied with thee unless thou follow their form of religion. Say, the guidance of Allah, that is the only guidance. For thou to follow their vain desires after knowledge which has reached thee, then wouldst thou find neither protecting nor helper against Allah, those to whom we have sent the books, studied it as it should be studied. They are the ones that believe therein. Those who reject faith therein, the loss of their own. The children of Israel, O children of Israel, call to mind the special favor which I bestowed upon you, and that I preferred you to all others for my message. Regard yourselves against the day when one soul shall not avail another, nor shall conversation be accepted from her, nor shall intercession profit her, nor shall anyone be helped from outside. Remember that Abraham was tried by his Lord with certain commands which he fulfilled. He said, I will make thee an imam to the nations, he pleaded, but also imams for my offspring. He said, my promise is not within the reach of evildoers. Remember, you made the house a place of assembly for men, a place of safety. And take ye the station of Abraham as a place of prayer. We covenant with Abraham and Ishmael that they should sanctify my house for those who compass it around or use it as a retreat or how or prostrate themselves therein in prayer. Remember, Abraham said, my Lord, make this a city of peace and feed his people with fruits, such as them as believe in Allah in the last day. And he said, yea, and such as reject faith for a while. So I grant them their pleasure, but will soon drive them to the torment of fire and evil destination indeed. Remember Abraham and Ishmael, raise the foundation of the house with this prayer. Our Lord, accept this service from us, for thou art all hearing, the all knowing. Our Lord, make of us Muslims bound to thy will, and of our progeny of people Muslims bound to thy will, and show us our places for celebration of do right, and turn unto us in mercy, for thou art the oft-returner, most merciful. The Lord said, our Lord, send amongst them a messenger of their own who shall rehearse thy signs to them and instruct them in scripture and wisdom and sanctify them, for thou art the exalted and might, the wise. And who turns away from the religion of Abraham, but such as debase their souls of folly? Him we chose and rendered pure in this world, and he will be in the hereafter in the ranks of the righteous. Behold, his Lord said to him, bow thy will to me. He said, I bow my will to the Lord and cherish of the universe. And this was the legacy that Abraham left to his son. So did Jacob. O my sons, Allah hath chosen the faith for you, then die not accepting the state of submission to Allah. Were ye witnessing when death appeared before Jacob? Behold, he said to his sons, what will you worship after me? He said, we shall worship thy God and the God of thy fathers, of Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac, the one true God. To him we bow in Islam. That was the people that have passed away, that shall reap the fruit of what they did and you of what ye do. For them there is no question in your case. They say, become Jews and Christians if you would be guided to salvation, say thou. Nay, I would rather the religion of Abraham be true, and he joined not God with Allah. Say ye, we believe in Allah and the revelation given to us and to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the descendants, children of Jacob, and that given to Moses, Jesus, and that given to all prophets and their Lord. We make no difference between one and another of them. We bow to Allah in Islam. Like Mr. Shaitan. So if they believe as ye believe, they are indeed on the right path. But if they turn back, it is they who are in schism. For Allah will suffice thee as against them, for he is the all-hearing, all-knowing. A religion is the color of Allah, and who can color better than Allah? And it is he whom you worship. Say, will you speak with us about Allah, seeing that he is our Lord and your Lord, that we are responsible for our doings and ye for yours, that we are sincere in our faith to him? Or do you say that Abraham, Ismail, Isaac, Jacob, and his descendants were Jews or Christians? Say, do you know better than Allah? Ah, who is more unjust than those who conceal the testimony they have from Allah? But Allah is not unmindful of what you do. That was the people that have passed away. They shall reap the fruit of what they did, and ye of what ye do. And of their merit, there is no question in your case. Okay, we have completed the first juice of the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah, this is the Good Life Holy Quran, Sister Karen Muhammad Education Hour. And we are now going to embark upon listening to Imam W.D. Muhammad. And all praises be to Allah.
In the land of the Arabs, and himself a member of the notable tribe, the most popular and respected of the tribes at that time, the tribe of Quraysh, an Arab speaking pure Arabic language. So God chose him to be the last prophet, created him to be the last prophet, and chose him to be the last prophet. And reveal the message for all people, the Quran, to him in his own language, in pure Arabic, Lughatul Arabiya, in Lughatul Arabiya. We witness that he is the last prophet of God, promised in the Torah, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, if we can understand it, the liberator, who will serve God for the liberation of human beings, the human soul, and the human life with its intelligence and moral nature from all forms of slavery, from all forms of oppression. He is the prophet. Allah says it in the Quran, and I have studied it, the Bible, so I know the Quranic reference to the Old and New Testament of the Torah and the Gospel. I found it there in plain language. He is the one to liberate the humanity from all forms of slavery, our oppression, so that the human soul will be free for God, so that the human soul will be free to serve God. We witness that he is the messenger of God, God's servant is his messenger. We prayed prayers and the peace upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'ad. Dear believers, we are blessed by Allah, God, the God of the universe, to be here again meeting together for our annual Islamic conference. And I'm blessed to be here with you to address you on Dawah in Islam. Dawah simply means to invite. Those who go out to communicate the faith to others in hopes that they would want to choose the faith, the religion, you are properly be called inviters. But we know the inviter has to know the language and the proper way of speaking. Islam is an invitation, and Islam is also a call, C-A-L-L, a call. Allah says, "Is'u, inna sabilillahi bil-hikmati wa ma'u'atidatil hasana." And call to the way of God with wisdom and with most beautiful and intelligent language of speech, of preaching. I've read that language. The word ma'u'ida, Ma'u'idha. The word ma'u'idha comes from a word that when it's used as a verb, it communicates not only words, but a kind of enthusiasm, a heightened spirit and enthusiasm. I hope you're listening. I don't waste words. You may think I do, but I don't. It communicates also a heightened spirit and enthusiasm. But God knows the human nature because he created us. He knows the human nature better than we do, better than we ever can know it. So he knows that we love God. We love his messenger. We love goodness. We love faith. And we want to share it with others. We want to convince others that we have this love as it should be. We want to convince others. And God knows that it has spiritual power. And we will be enthusiastic. And our spiritual energy will be intensified. And we will get loud sometimes, like I'm doing now. We will get loud sometimes. So God wants to make us aware that this spirit and this energy and this excitement, it may make you speak in an unbecoming way. You may get too loud. You may even become abrasive. You may even become offensive to others that don't share your appreciation for your religion. So God says, call to the path of God or to the way of God with wisdom and the most beautiful and intelligent preaching. When I gave a lot of thought to that in the Quran, it was after I had recalled some preachers in America, how they preach. Oh, boy, they need that teaching bad. Just get the shouting and screaming and foaming at the mouth and condemning everything but themselves and that little small congregation. It's terrible. Now, I don't think it's anything new. I think they were doing that 14 centuries ago. And that's why God put it in the book. For then and now and future. Then, now, and future. Praise be to Allah. Before going further with my presentation on Dawah, I want to let you know that we are comfortable with our new name that we have. And it was necessary not for us, we don't need it, because we function very naturally. We know ourselves. We are Muslims. And thanks to Allah and His mercy on us, we are Muslims with all Muslims of the world. We're all Muslims of the world. We know how to identify and locate each other. We know prayer Muhammad Seed. We know the messages in our association. We know our business people. Really, we don't need these formal names, and certainly we don't need a legal name. The only legal name is Muslim. So we don't need all these names. The reason for the name is that we are now having to, and this is a blessing from Allah, that we have grown in respect in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of the general public, in the eyes of the establishment, the religious establishment first in this country, and the political establishment, government, and also in the eyes of the business establishment, we have grown now to have great respect. And because of that, we are finding organizations who have an interest in the spiritual well-being of not only their public, but the publics of the world, the nations around this globe. They have interest in the spiritual well-being of all humanity, of all people. And they are now aware that we have that same interest and that we are not really trying to propagate Elijah Muhammadism or Farrakhanism or Karateism or Nation of Islamism in America or Wallaceism or Deputy Dean Muhammadism. They know that we are not doing that. They know that we are really supported by and founded upon or established upon the Quran, the Holy Scripture, the Holy Book of all Muslims, 1 billion plus. And they know that we follow Muhammad, the prophet to whom that Quran was revealed, the Holy Book was given. So they recognize us now as Muslims in the universal family of Muslims. And because of that, they're giving us this great respect. They are inviting us to sit down at the table of discussion and decision-making and decision-making. You hear that? I couldn't have dreamed that I would be invited to the high circles in the sky that I'm invited to. I look down and there's nothing but clouds under us, no clouds above our heads. I say, wow, I never thought that I could be sitting at a table in the sky this high. But I am. And what have lifted me up like that? My obedience to Allah, His word, and His messenger. Remember, I don't waste words. Now, are having interaction with them as an organization. We are not a legal organization, but we are an organization. We are a strong organization. Don't ever forget that. We had discipline we inherited from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teaching, and that community called Nation of Islam, lost our Nation of Islam. We have disciplines that have given us something special, something very special. We have faith in ourselves, and I would say a spiritual vibe that was put into us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's insistence of insisting that we take our own affairs into our own hands. So we've been conditioned, really, to be independent workers without a lot of support, without too much support, excuse me, from other people. So this is impressive. This is impressive from the inside, and even more impressive, occasionally we meet people who are more impressed on our side than we are. With this spirit we have, with this commitment we have, we're four people, but look what we're doing. We're doing big things. Four people doing big things. That's very impressive. Four people in the octopus and four people in the pocket. Yes, we are not a community of with a strong professional group. No, we don't have a strong professional group. We are not a community of professionals. We are a community of from the what I call the industrious thriving poor. Industrious thriving poor. That's who we are. That's us. You know? But because of this experience we had in the past and how we have now brought the best of that experience with us into the real life of Islam, we are a very, very special people. Very, very special people. And these other big organizations who have similar efforts, that's what I'm speaking of now when I say similar efforts, their interest in humanity is similar to the interest we find in Quran and in Muhammad's life. It's similar to that. So because of that similarity, they invite us now to join them at the table of discussion and decision making. And we are joining them. Allahu Akbar. So we're having interaction now as one organization with a world focus, not only a local focus, but with a world focus. We have a world focus. They have a world focus. We are joining other organizations with a world focus. And we need a formal name, because they always ask, when we join, you have to fill out certain forms, you have to do certain things. They all have to do it. We're equals. We're not joining them as inferiors or as little fellows. We join them as equals. And they insist upon that. They insist upon that. That everybody that sits at the table must be treated as an equal. We need that name. So we have it now. I promised some of them, they were asking about the name. So how should we get you? I said, well, we're just Muslims. I said, you want to list us as Muslim Americans. And that's what they've been doing. They've been listing us as Muslim Americans, or American Muslims. But now we are to be listed as Muslim American Society. Muslim American Society. So all of us should know that expression. You should know that expression. So when you see it in the article in the paper, you know they're referring to us. Muslim American, not necessarily now, because a writer could be writing about all Muslims in America, and he might use the same language, the Muslim American Society. But you know, if they're talking about Muslims separate from the whole society of Muslims, then that'll be us, Muslim American Society. And it so happened that society is a name that is a part, that word society was chosen by the two other popular efforts in America before us. Actually, they chose this name society before we did, and that's the Islamic, Northern Islamic Circle of North America, not society, pardon me. One other, that's Islamic society of North America. Islamic, it's the big one, it's the big one. In fact, while we're having our convention here, the Islamic Society of North America is having its convention in Chicago. And they're expecting an upwards of 20,000 people. And we were expecting here in the Meadowlands the same, an upwards of 20,000 people. We don't see them yet. A lot of this. Yes, it's Islamic Society of North America. I was invited by them, and I hated I couldn't do it. I was invited by the president of the Islamic Society of North America to address them after Juma Friday. But I was to be here Thursday evening for an important reception. And a very important reception. So I couldn't do it. I had to be here. Every year, we are working to have a united convention. And it's my belief, and when I say my belief, I'm just saying that, I'm just letting you know that I have a strong personal interest here. But really, it's not only my belief. I believe it's the belief of most of the members of our, I say most, all the members of our Shura, of our national leadership are not interested in this. I just put it plainly and truthfully to you. All of them are not interested in this. But it's my belief that better than 50% of them are interested in us having a joint Islamic convention occasionally with the other groups, so we can show ourselves in America, benefit ourselves, and show non-Muslims Islamic unity and brotherhood. And it's necessary. And we also can benefit greatly from having a joint convention with others who have a larger percentage of professional people among them, who have a larger percentage of persons who are very knowledgeable in the Islamic language, Arabic language, Islamic knowledge, etc. And if we can come together as brothers, we can benefit. We can get benefit from each other. If we can plan the convention together, we can benefit greatly from each other. And that's what Allah wants for us. Allah doesn't want us separating and going in our separate directions and having our little separate meetings and calling ourselves the same, bragging that we have an agenda for the world. We have an agenda for the world, but most of the world is shut out, and we in there by ourselves representing 1 million of a percent of 1% of the world. You know, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So I'm pushing for this, and right now this is not too cool for some of the members of the Shura. But I don't want it to be too cool. I want to turn up the heat a little bit. And they're going to thank me for it later. Believe me, my mama would turn up the heat on me when I wasn't obeying her like I should. But now I think back, and I'm still keeping dead a long time. My mother died years ago. But I'm still thanking her for turning up the heat. Now, so much for that. That was very important to say before going into the meat of my presentation. I'm going to use language I have to explain to you. I want to share with you a concern that I feel on me, that is a burden on me, that I feel I should share with all of you all, because I think we are lacking in a certain area of performance, and we just have to do more about it. And that's to say we are doing something about it. Some of you all are doing beautiful jobs, but too many of us are not doing anything about it. Look like we're satisfied, just go on the same way with no change. In Islamic studies, there is a term, adab, and it means the proper way to behave, good manners. When we think of our life as a life that we want to extend out from ourselves to others, I like to think in three circles. But the first circle is my personal life and my immediate concern. What's happening to me personally. And personally, it includes my children, my wife, and my children. Because the family should be one life. So we have that personal instance. That's one circle. The personal life and the personal interest form one circle. Then you go out, extending outwardly, I would like to say equatorial circle. You know the equator that's built around the whole earth? Well, if you could fly that belt up and down, it would go all over the world. It would move from the North Pole to the South Pole and back up from the South Pole to the North Pole. It wouldn't miss a spot on the earth. That helps. Because when it gets to the smaller part, you just keep adjusting it. After a while, it's going to have no space at all. It's going to be a dot. Right? So the equatorial, I would like to call these equatorial circles. And you start out with your little circle, your personal interest. Then you want to go out for yourself and embrace the next interest that is most relevant in your life. And the next interest would be your faith, your religion, right? Your religion. Because your religion is not only for you and your household. Your religion is for all people who embrace that religion. So then your next circle should be, when you stop thinking about yourself, the next circle should be all Muslims. That should be your next circle. Quite naturally, you're going to start with those Muslims you're best acquainted with, but you can't treat them unfairly. All Muslims are to deserve your interest and your respect and your support. All Muslims deserve it. So you can't cheat any of them out of it. But you start with your immediate circle, and you raise all Muslims. So the Muslim circle is the next circle. So the first circle is the circle of personal interest. The next circle is the circle of Islamic interest. Then you have a third one. And I believe that our religion directs us to go from self to the Muslim community and then to the outer world, to the whole world. So this third circle is the whole world. One little circle. It gets bigger, it becomes the Muslim circle, and then it gets even bigger, it becomes the world community circle, the global community circle. Our dialogue must not be unaware of any of those circles. Our dialogue must not overlook or leave out any of those circles. When we are doing dialogue, we must have an interest in the individual person, a real genuine interest in the individual person. Businesses that make great success, they make great success because they have an interest in the individual person. Not only the company, not only the market, but the individual person. This world is beginning to press more and more for human excellence. That's the movement of the world now. That's what's shaping the world now, the need for human excellence. And who is the model for human excellence? This is his day, Muhammad the Prophet. Eh? Certainly you have in Muhammad the most excellent model for human beings. It's for anybody who believes in God and the last day. Isn't that what God said to us? Yes, so we are coming. Now we are really beginning to see the world coming into Muhammad's world. This is Muhammad's world. And the world is trying to come into Muhammad's world. Muhammad's world is a world that holds up human excellence and requires the human being to strive for more and more human excellence. So here the business world, the cooperative world, the business cooperative world, they are now insisting, informing each other, insisting upon having more respect for the human person as an individual. Having more respect for the human family. The family. Look how the family have been neglected. Look how the family have been abused. Look how the family have been oppressed in America. The family has been oppressed terribly in America by the commercial interest. By commercial interest. And now today we are seeing a change come. The change is coming. And it's coming from the spiritual people first. Coming from the grassroots people first, and the spiritual people, the space community. And then lastly, it's coming from the business establishment. And when the business establishment joins an effort, television even has to straighten up. Television has to bend and respect what the business world wants, because television is the tool, the instrument, the conveyor for the business world. You may think it's an entertainment piece. That's commercial. That's business. Entertainment on television is big business. Just count the commercials. You'll understand. Praise be to Allah. So this is a new world we're living in. We're coming in the time of Muhammad. Now the world is moving into the day of Muhammad. They don't know it, but we know it. Some of them know it, too. Some of high, they know it. They won't tell us, but they know it. They wish to be together. This is the day of Muhammad. Muhammad the Prophet who is the day before Christ. Universality, respect for the human family, all of them, the end of racism. That's Muhammad the Prophet. He was chosen to demonstrate that to us. Respect for women, the inclusion of women in business, the inclusion of women in decision-making, the inclusion of women in decision-making affecting the globe, and Muhammad. I know what it's like. He's not the crazy man you see right around here. No, he's not. The man that's treating his women like they are herd of sheep, he's not following Muhammad. He doesn't know Muhammad. Peace and blessing be upon him. Muhammad was a human giant. Nobody can match him. Praise be to Allah. He was so big. He was so big in human excellence that the Jews had to introduce Jesus Christ to introduce Muhammad. Believe me, I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, he was so big in human excellence. God would never authorize that the things that have been said about Jesus in compliment be said about Muhammad, the mortal just like us. No. But they thought it was so big that they presented a Jew in the image we call Jesus Christ in Christianity as a sign of Muhammad, the prophet. Yeah. Praise be to Allah. Well, we got the real thing. That's the expression, you know, in America. We got the real thing. Allah who acts. So these three circles, I want to call them equatorial circles of consciousness of our own behavior. Consciousness of our own behavior. Now, you know the lesson for proper behavior starts with mama, right? Starts with mama. My mother taught me how to behave. And she insisted upon me behaving in the best manner that she knew. The best manner she knew. She would always want me to measure up to the best behavior that she knew. And I love her for that. Oh, yes. I tell my children, I say, you sometimes have a problem obeying me. And I'm doing nothing but trying to help you. Trying to help your own life. I say, you don't obey me, and I'm looking at you. I say, I'm still obeying my mother, and she's been dead for 30 years or more. And I'll obey her until I'm dead. Yes, I will. I will obey her until I'm dead. Because she taught me rightly. She gave me right instruction. And I'm going to obey her until I'm gone in my grave. And I believe any child who got good advice from his parents or her parents, and you don't respect it, I believe that's going to be a serious matter when you face God's justice in the judgment. You obey them when they're present. You obey them when they're not present. You obey them when they're sick and can't. You obey them when they are dead. You obey them. Whatever they gave you was good for you, obey it, and God will love you for that. Yes? And you will find help coming to you from God, because he will love you for that. So we don't want to ignore the good manners that we were taught as children from our mother, our father, our guardian, or whoever took care of us. We don't want to forget those good manners and stop. Let them stop at home or let them stop with your family. When you come out in the street and you don't have any manners, you come to the masjid, you don't have any manners. You talk to each other, you don't have any manners. You speak to the congregation, you forget your manners. You go out to invite Christians to Islam, you forget you're supposed to have manners. There are good manners for all circumstances. There are good manners for all circumstances. And this is Islamic knowledge, Islamic knowledge. Islamic knowledge teaches us that manners began at home and spread abroad. Manners began at home and are carried outwardly, extended outwardly, go outwardly. You don't leave the baggage of good manners at home. When you leave home, you pick up the baggage of good manners and take the baggage of good manners with you wherever you go. And when Allah says to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is he, and preach, jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Now, jadilhum, there's another trouble word, isn't it? Like a ma'u'idha. There's another trouble word. Jadilhum. Because this jadil, if you're going to be active as the one who jadil, the jadil, it's going to expose you to emotional extremes if you don't have some checks on you. Jadilhum means engage them in debate. Engage them in debate. Engage them in argument. Carry the complaint to them. Carry the complaint to them. You have an issue. You have an issue that you want to carry, present to them, that you want to carry to them. You got an issue. You got a complaint. You got an argument. So God says, Jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Argue with them. Challenge them. Contend with them. Present the complaint to them in a way that is most beautiful and excellent. Yes. To check those tendencies to forget. To get into all that enthusiasm, get into all that emotional stuff. And you start insulting the Christian ideas. You start insulting the Christian sentiment. And you're supposed to be doing now. And we come and visit your master. You got your family and two friends in your master. That's all you got there. Family members and two friends. Two friends that's there to see you don't kill yourself. They're really your friends. They're hanging around so that you won't kill yourself. And you think you're doing great, Dollar. You've driven away everybody except those who are there just to show mercy. If you represent this religion correctly, you will draw people together like this. So if you're too big for this religion, find your small place in it. Some of us are so big-headed, we don't even want to bow to the demands of the religion. Now, we can bring you the Quran and make it perfectly clear to you. Look what Allah said. Bring you Muhammad the Prophet, the second authority we have to respect. We bring you what Muhammad did, what Muhammad said, peace and blessings be on him. And we say, look what our prophet is. Look what his manners were. Look at his manners. And you still don't change. You still not impressed. So you think yourself too big for this religion. So I say, find your small place in it. And you know where that is? Sweeping the floors and keeping your mouth shut. And wait until you get autumn to pick up the broom. Yeah, I'm serious. Don't even pick up the broom without autumn. Some somebody thinks differently. I'm trying to talk you out of your ignorance. But I don't believe you want to be that way. Not in your soul. In your soul, you don't want to be that way. Your mind is. I'm sorry. That old experience from the past started to come out of my mouth. It's your mind that's messed up. Allah says to us, Muhammad the Prophet would not have attracted so many people to him that devoted themselves so completely to serve Islam under him as their leader. If it was not for their hearts being endeared to Muhammad. And it says Muhammad couldn't make that. Allah says Muhammad couldn't do that. He couldn't make the people put that in the people's heart. It's the mercy and favor of God, it's the blessing of God that Muhammad was such a beautiful human creation that Allah made. Allah made him like that. That Allah created him. And the people have themselves had been created themselves to be beautiful human creatures. So when they saw the beauty, the apex of beauty, the perfect model of human beauty in Muhammad, they just gave them anything. What do you want, Muhammad? You want my house? You want my garden? You want my crop? You want, what do you want, Muhammad? You want my life? Here it is. That's the kind of followers you have. Now, with that nine-member congregation you got, will they do that to you? Most of them are just waiting to see when you go out there. They won't do that to you. So give up the inferior for the best. Give up the cheap for the best. Give up the empty for the poor. Then you will do good job. We have to think bigger than ourselves. We have to be supported by something much bigger than ourselves. If we want to take care of ourselves and advance ourselves. Take care of yourself and advance yourself if you're going to have nothing but your little small self and your interest? No. Come into the bigger interest. Come into the universal mind, into the universal interest, into the universal concern. This is Islam. Care about all people because all people are one. Care about all people because all people are one. The best of all people is the human soul and the human life that Allah created when he created Adam. That's the best. We share that equally. We share that in common. So we think of ourselves as many and different, and we are. But more importantly, we should think of ourselves as one. The human being, God says, the human being was created from one. One death, one person, one soul was created from one. Then he created for that one his mate, or its mate. And from them came to all the people on this earth. That's what Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, Surah called the women. That's what Allah says. Highly glorified is he. Do you think Allah is telling you that so you will know what happened in the past? More importantly, he's telling you that to let you know the reality presently and the reality for all time. The reality for all time is that humanity is one life. Human beings are one life that Allah made. We are one in the same life. So if we don't respect a person who has that same life, that's the one life, then we have disrespected even our own life. Because it's one. And we care only about our little selfish life and our little selfish family interest. And we don't care about our neighbors next door and the people who are suffering in Africa and the people who are suffering in Asia, the people who are suffering in Europe and other places of the world. If we are not caring for anything that and feel bad about that, then we are really doing damage to our own life within our own body. You're going to become more and more shrinking. You are shrinking your great, excellent form. You're making it little, insignificant. But if you will embrace all people as one human life and say, I must care about them because it's the same life that's in me. God made it one human life. Allahu Akbar. I'm only elaborating. I'm only explaining and elaborating on what Allah revealed in the Quran, what he demonstrated to us through Muhammad the Prophet, his own life, Muhammad's life. So when you go out, Imam, to speak to the congregation, be sure you brought your best manners with you. And if a fellow worker says, Brother Imam, isn't it time we start the meeting? Oh, brother, I just know when to start the meeting. Come on, brother, go out there and wipe my car. Go out there and clean my car.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah. All right, bro. Yes, sir. So how you feel today?
Always feel good. And also, I feel with these hands.
Lord, bro. Good. Praise be to Allah. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to call Muslim Journal. I got a meeting this morning with some people, but yeah, I didn't get a chance to call Muslim Journal. So, alhamdulillah. So, what have you got to say this morning, brother? Go ahead on and.
Well, assalamu alaykum, first of all, and in all ways, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, may Allah peace and blessings be upon all of us, you know, in the queue and out of the queue. Is Brother Rashad there?
Not right now.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Yeah, and as always that, and also now, you know, in listening to the Imam talk, you know, Imam has always been trying to tell us when we was here, you know, to be mindful. Like we've said on a couple of occasions, that one of the schemes of the shaitan is what they call pacification. You know, because he's in his death row. And he's trying to borrow for time. He's not trying to necessarily get any more believers to go to hell with him, other than the ones who choose to, from his years and years and years of scheming on them, you know, has them asleep. Have them dreaming, sleepwalking, you know, and on their way to the hellfire, and they have convinced themselves that there's nothing they can do about it, so they're trying to enjoy the good life, false world he has created for them to take the place of the good life that Allah is always, always inviting the human family to do and get from the guidance in the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad. And that's what Imam Muhammad is trying to tell us over and over again through his mission, you know, to be mindful of pacification. Because that's what the hypocrites do. That's what the deceivers do. They pacify you and make you tolerate their fake invisibility they think they have. They think they're invisible. They can think they can come and tell you a lie to your face and then go back outside of the masjid and tell their other friends a lie to their face. And they think that neither one of the two people involved, are they being hypocritical to both of them, the ones inside of the masjid and the ones outside the masjid, and he's in the middle, what they call it, playing both ends across the middle, and he thinks or she thinks that they're invisible because they learn how to pacify people by telling them what they want to hear. But what that pacification does is hypnotize you. And I just got to looking, I said, now ain't it strange how a little time before Allah blessed us to get some relief through the birth of Imam W.D. Muhammad, that the pacifier came out. The pacifier came out. What was the best way to get the children to accept artificial stimulation for the real thing, and that's motherly love, mother contact, community contact, universal contact, you know, and give the mother the chance to educate her child at her most wonderful position when she's feeding that child. And they replace it with artificial insemination, artificial pacification, artificial vitals to make them take it over milk. They take it over the contact with their mother word, where they're getting that, like we used to learn a long time ago when the laws used to tell us that mystical relationship he put between mother and child. That's cut off with pacification. So what Satan does, he, to keep us from going through the good life that's in the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad, and in our days and time here in this century that we live in, and from the calling of Imam W. Muhammad to that life of the Quran and life of Prophet Muhammad, like we just got through listening to him on the top city he was just giving, you know. But we had to be mindful. Imam Muhammad has always been trying to let us grow at a pace that when we take our pacifiers out of our mouth and all the artificial tape of the world out of our mouth, that they'll have the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to replace it. The real world in the good life in the Quran in this hour. Because people who are blind, deaf, and dumb, people who are under the illusions and schemes of the shaitan, remember, they think that is the good life. They think that's a good life, oral sex. They think that's a good life that two men lay down with each other, two women lay down with each other, drinking, drugs. You can't tell them that ain't the good life. That's the biggest trouble we have when we do, like Imam also stated. This da'wah is bigger than the person who you're giving it to. It's for the world. It's for the salvation of the world. That's why they try to, through the schemes of the Satan, Satan try to give us all kind of names for what Imam's mission, calling him the spokesman for human salvation. He rejected all of them. That he let it go because he wasn't going to put that pacifier in his mouth when he already knew that he was living the life of the Mujahideen. Or in the English translation, he was living a life of one who's calling people back to proper faith, back to the one God. Get them back on the right track and understanding Scripture, the Bible, the Torah. What happened to it? What happened to Adam? What happened to everything who fell victim to the scheme of Shaitan and contaminated? Imam was calling us back to the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad. The only thing that Allah has created to straighten up and give dignity back to everything that Satan had touched. Give them the real good life so that they'll know this time around what they are losing when they listen to the whispers of the Shaitan. Adam will never do it again. Every messenger or prophet of God who Allah had to admonish never made that mistake again. They never did listen to the invitation to a better life from Shaitan than the life that Almighty God Allah has already given them in his books, in his messengers, in his prophets. We got to do the same thing. We can't celebrate and even think for a second. Like they say in Al-Baqarah, have no doubt in this Quran. None. There's no better other life or good life other than the life that's in the Quran. And Allah is blessing you and anyone who wants to support you in bringing this taqwa back, this dhikr back, you know, from, you know, giving them another opportunity to not be fooled again into thinking that there's a better way than the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your creator, your cherisher, your nourisher, the one who can only say be in everything you can see then. We have to embrace that. Like Imam Muhammad is trying to tell us, because he done his job. He is the foremost, after Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can see in the history, I permitted to call people to the clear and final message that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his message. Very clear. There's no other Christianity, Judaism, Shiitism, Sunniism, and none of them can call us to the clarity of the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad than the opportunity that Allah is giving now by speaking only, not even of Imam Muhammad. Allah said, I want you to speak on the good life according to the Quran and Sunnah. And when that comes to our understanding, like Imam was telling you just in the CD you just got to plan, remember this. When we let Satan put that pacifier in our mouth to keep telling us something that we already know, and it's good to have reflection now, because that's what history is for. But you cannot live the past. You got to live the future, like Imam Muhammad said. Take me to a better future than the one I just had. Than the one that I just had, because I'm in you now. I'm in you. Allah has passed the baton or the covenant to you, my people here in the United States of America, who Allah has favored to be Muslim. The best Muslim, not the Muslim that he let come to America with their tribalism, their culturalism, their racism, etc. You have been sent here to be free the whole world like the way they see you got your freedom from being a slave and an animal living in the dirt. Stand up on your two feet and walk like the word of Allah, from the Allah, like the prophet said. Quran living. Watch you living. Now, it behooves anyone who has sensitivity to what's in their heart, the Quran, to understand it must be getting really close, and not I'm talking close could be anything because Allah Alam. But he at least is letting us know again, you have an opportunity to see what you're losing when you lose and use your sense, use Shaitan's sense. Instead of using the sense that I have guided for you in the Quran and provided for you in the life example of Prophet Muhammad. Why do they cling so heavily to the past when they are supposed to be striving feasibly to the future and trying to get to the Jannah as fast as they can? Remember, the Jannah is right around the corner when everyone on this earth has had the opportunity. There ain't but one God, and Muhammad is the messenger who Allah has intended to know that. Allah is the only one who knows how many people have already been warned before we. The slave here in America has had the opportunity to live the good life, but we ain't never had it. Everybody on this planet, including our African brothers and sisters who sold us, including our African brothers and sisters who were Muslims in Africa, they have already experienced the pacification, distraction, whispers of the Shaitan and his imps, which means his human impersonators of his word, change their mind. Are we going to let that happen to us? The students of Allah, the students of the Quran, the students of Imam Warfi Muhammad, the language we like to use so much, have we really learned anything about the good life? Have we ever had the good life? We don't have the good life now. And we've been blessed with that same opportunity ever since 1975 and a little bit behind that. Because Imam Muhammad got put out for trying to tell us the truth ahead of time. That this is good, but the Nation of Islam ain't like universal Islam, where everything works together, giving ibadah, giving worship to Almighty God of Allah, their creator, their sustainer. And he does it all by his will. So we have to not let the truth, the way Shaitan tell it, pacifies and slows up from our work that we got to do. I remember when I was young, I used to say, wow, this Christian talk about Jesus Christ, they got it down so pat that whether you want to hear it or not, three times a week, that's all you hear is the gospel on the radio or the TV. And through the mercy of Allah, look how much Allah has took all of that advertisement, all that brainwashing, that propaganda off of us. Yeah, they don't went to the TV when, but at least you have a choice. You can turn that TV off. But back in the day when our parents had nothing but their prayers, that God would help them because they knew that Jesus Christ was no son of God. They knew when Christianity started, those who were educated back then, we had scholars back then of the African descent. You know, they had enough sense to study the history and realize when Christianity came and played, when Jesus Christ became the word became an institution. You know, they know the many names of Jesus, a name was in different languages, including his own. We are the only one who are a new people, like we say nowadays. We are the only one who is new because we have the opportunity to do what nobody since creation has had the opportunity to do, and it's for everybody. That's what keeps us from being arrogant. Are thinking we're special in the wrong type of way in the definition of the way Satan gives it. We are doing it for every human being that's ever been created because on the day of judgment, Allah tells us it'd be based on how well we done, the children, the descendants of Adam, how well we done with this test, ending the rule of Shaitan on this earth. When we establish the physical, moral, spiritual, good life of the Quran here on earth, it's all over with. There's no reason no more to give Shaitan no respite. We have made up our mind, those of us who believe in one God, that there's only one creator. And he created Adam to Muhammad and all of us here today in 2021. He's the creator of all of that. When we have made up our mind that without a doubt we are satisfied with the good life of the Quran and those who follow and believe in the Quran and those who follow and support without a doubt that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is his messenger, his example, for now and on, like Imam Muhammad just got to say it on that CD. The good life. Now, it can be slipped right out of our hand if we don't pay attention. Because the law is not going to force this upon us. Like I said again the other day ago, like Allah told us the other day ago, look around the world. Right now, it's just you and the believers and supporters and the father of Imam W. Muhammad is right now talking about the good life of the Holy Quran. The Saudis, the Kuwaitis, Christians, the Jews, the Muslims, they're not talking about the good life of the Quran. They're talking about the good life they have established with the Quran. That's against the Quran. And they're satisfied to live in the dunya. and die in the dunya. And this big old pacifier is in our mouth. Satan is trying to keep us distracted so that on the day of judgment, we will not be in a state of al-Islam. We'll be like little babes. And remember now, all the babies of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know Allah gives them the Jannah instantly, but they also died. Look at the people Allah said before him who had to be sacrificed and not get the good life on earth as he has promised them, as they could have had in their time, but not having firm belief. You know, even though he has told them that he's going to compensate them for leaving this earth unwillingly, not willfully, but unwillingly, because of the scheme or their parents or their environment have them out of a state of being Muslim. You got this opportunity, and the supporters, if they can hear you, if you can get the word out to them, the good news out to them, that this is not for you. This is for everybody. And you thank Allah that whatever he sees in your heart, in your intention, is enough for him to trust you. To remind the people of the good life that's in the Quran. And if they want their schools back, they want their life back, their industries, their homes, fresh organic grass in their yard, whatever it might be, dominion over everything on this earth and in the heavens, Allah Alam on that. We had that opportunity if we reestablish what we have had intellectually, spiritually, but in our heart we have not accepted what is in it, what Allah has preferred for us, Deen al-Islam, the good life, and the end of Satan's rule. Remember, our job is also when we establish our faith in Allah, that we are cutting off the rule of Satan on the human family. And until then, we will suffer like we see in the history of the Quran, not of the history books of man, but the history books of the Quran, of the Bible, and the correction that the Quran has made on it. We'll see clearly the right way. And we've been seeing it over and over again. There's nothing new under the sun. Imam Muhammad has been teaching us for 45 years now. And we still disobey more of his du'as for us than we are obeying his du'as that he gave to Allah to help us and help him get the world back out of the influence and the grip of the shaitan. See, Imam's concern was ending the rule of shaitan in his lifetime, inshallah, if he was given opportunity, and he had an opportunity, and he'd done it as much as Allah would let him do, because he's just like, oh, we don't know when Allah might call it back. So he did not want to waste a bunch of time and letting Satan continue to kill the babies. That's why he told us all about the cuckoo bird and the dragon. He was telling us, Satan is stealing your babies, not you. He got you so scared of what he's doing to you that you fell around. He's steady taking your babies with drugs, bad food, bad future, bad vision. When you have in your grist the good life in the book of Allah, the sacred Quran, and the life example of how to be sincere to it, have no doubt in it, in the life of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we pray a lot that as we continue to lay the foundation See, we already built the school. We already got all the ideas that we had about what we need. We already had that. But what we don't have is the pillars of Al-Islam underneath us. We don't have the articles of faith underneath us. We're all of this stuff, the schools, the hospitals, the everything that we need on this earth to survive the whisperers and the influence of Shaitan is right there in the pillars of Al-Islam. Right.
Okay, my brother. Subhanallah. Good teaching. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Good preaching.
Thank
good
Allah,
teaching.
Alhamdulillah. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you.
Okay. Inshallah. Inshallah. So until tomorrow or this afternoon too with the message of concern. But until tomorrow. We're going to sign off, and I'm going to offer the Al-Fatiha. And thank you very much, Brother Al-Muqsi Muhammad.
All praise to Allah.
Good teaching, good preaching. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka nabudu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdin al-Sirata al-Mustaqim, Sirata al-Din amta alayhim, Gabriel Makhdubi alayhim, Walla Dawleen. Ameen.
Peace and blessings on you and your family, and tell your aunties, we make a dua for them. We make a dua for
yes,
Allah, bless them to make it easy for them today. We can't forget about nobody,
yes,
especially those that, the ones we know that have already been mentioned. So, you know, I think about your aunties and them all the time, you know, and that the Lord bless you to strength and continue to look out for them like you did when you were small, you know. Give them together and let them know that the believers, your brothers and sisters are praying for them too.
Okay, okay. I'll tell her.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah.